Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's a beautiful morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Ooh. Wake up, mister.
What's up, the anchor? Mission to enter the mothership, brother.
Ever heard a sports talk show like this before? Didn't think so.
What's going on, Dirty?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
DA, how you feeling, brother?
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. What a night it was for LSU fans and the LSU program. And Ed Ogeron and Joe Burrow, we'll talk about that coming up here on the show this hour. Also, we'll talk about the Astros getting pounded by the Major League Baseball office and Rob Manfred, the commissioner, hands down historic punishment to the Houston Astros. We'll discuss that coming up here on the show as well in about 15 minutes from now toward the end of the hour. We've got your epic fail of the morning.
I am the epic fail.
It is a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up with your trashes, won't you? Who are you aggravated with or trashing? What are you frustrated with in trashing? Hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. And check us out. Watch us, won't you? We're really proud of the simulcast. It's the DA show on TV. It's not just a couple of surveillance cameras checking us out. Highly produced, high definition. It looks really good. The Wizard of WatchDA.com, Andrew Kaplan, making it sing every single day. You don't need a cable provider. You do not need a subscription. It is free. Watch us on any device, anywhere, for free at WatchDA.com. Let's talk about just how improbable LSU's season was. Let's talk about just how improbable the LSU national championship was from two different vantage points, quarterback and coach. Think about what has to happen for this to come together like this. And this was no Cinderella, last team into the college football playoff, needed a few breaks to go their way, got hot at the right time. Oh, no. This was a season for the ages that could have never been predicted. Never. You know, if Alabama races through an entire season unscathed and dominant, we kind of saw it coming. Had Clemson won the game last night, we certainly could have seen it coming. Those great Nebraska teams of the 90s, the Miami Hurricanes of the 80s, early 90s, early 2000s, Florida State. There are a number of seasons that were glorious, iconic, and epic. USC, where you could have seen it coming. You could have never projected this because it is so improbable how we got here. You could have never expected this team to be this dominant. Look, LSU has had talent forever. Forever. The LSU program has churned out NFL prospects for decades. And Louisiana is an unbelievable state for high school football talent. And LSU has won national championships. I mean, you think about the history of college football, LSU has always been one of those programs. But before Nick Saban got there in the early 2000s, they only had one national championship. They've added three this century. This is the golden years of LSU football. Since Saban got there, they had a title under Saban, a title under Les Miles, now a title under Ed Orgeron. But think about what had to happen. Let's start with Ed Orgeron. Ed Orgeron was an assistant coach at the University of Miami during their glory days in the 80s, and he was out of control. He was a drinker. He was a partier. He was a bar guy. He was out of control. And they knew it. He eventually got into a major bar fight. He was arrested because of it, and Miami said, this guy's incorrigible. He's got a lot of passion, a lot of energy, but he's a bull in a china shop. We can't have this. And this is Miami, by the way, in the 80s that said, we can't have this. This is too much. He's too out of control. He's off the rails. He's got to be let go. Ed Orgeron, in 1995, gets hired as the defensive line coach at Syracuse under Paul Pasqualoni as basically an olive branch of his life raft needing to be somewhere in college football because he had drank himself out of a job. He had partied himself out of a job. And he was untouchable. And Paul Pasqualoni, in an era of Syracuse football that was really, really good with multiple NFL players like Donovan McNabb and Tabucky Jones and Donovan Darius and Will Allen and Quentin Spotwood and Rob Conrad and Moreland Greenwood, they had a lot of really good football players. And Ed Orgeron got his footing again. Orgeron ends up parlaying that job ultimately into the Ole Miss head coaching job. But at Ole Miss, it doesn't work. At Ole Miss, which is a hard job, doesn't work, fired after three seasons. Back to an assistant coach. And that was probably going to be Ed Orgeron's only head coaching gig, you would think. Kind of a career assistant, high energy, but maybe not the face of a program. Great recruiter. Kids loved him. When he left Syracuse to move on, the kids openly cried at their lockers. Loved him. He's at USC when Lane Kiffin gets fired. He becomes the interim coach. Again, kids love him. Just love him. High energy, passionate, willing to do the dirty work. But again, bit of a checkered past and how he got fired at Miami and didn't work at Ole Miss. And USC is USC. And we just can't have Ed Orgeron, a man that doesn't talk like us or walk like us or look like us, be coaching our football team. So even though he wants the job, they pass him over. Ed Orgeron now is basically just a career assistant coach. And he gets LSU, and they still don't want to make him the head coach. They still want anybody else. Jimbo Fisher. Oh, Jimbo. We want Jimbo Fisher. We want to pay Jimbo all of the money to come. They don't want Ed Orgeron, which sounds crazy right now, but LSU wants a bigger name. They don't want to retread. Now, Ed Orgeron is the son of a shrimp boat captain in Louisiana. I mean, come on. But they don't want him. Ultimately, they can't get Jimbo Fisher there. They decide, okay, fine. It's Ed Orgeron's job. Ed Orgeron, not trusted with the X's and O's of the defense or the offense, is basically forced to hire high-end, high-money assistant coaches to control the scheme because they don't trust him. this has defied all odds that Ed Orgeron is the head coach of LSU upon a national championship. Every step of the way, this was not supposed to happen this way. LSU fell into Ed Orgeron being their head coach. Totally fell into it. Had Ole Miss kept them, had USC retained them, had another Power 5 program said, you're our guy, wouldn't have been here. And had Jimbo Fisher come, or had a big-name coach they wanted come, Ed Orgeron wouldn't be the head coach. So for him to lord over one of the greatest seasons ever in college football history is inexplicable. Now let's combine that with how crazy the Joe Burrow story is, which is even crazier. That Joe Burrow gets recruited to Ohio State and is behind three other quarterbacks. He is fourth on the Ohio State depth chart. Fourth. Joe Burrow doesn't look anything like this Joe Burrow. That Joe Burrow is fine. He's a grinder, but he's not a superstar. And he's stuck behind all of those kids at Ohio State. And even last year, after he transferred to LSU, kind of on a whim because his dad says, look, you want to be a starter? If you can be a starter and you can do it at LSU, that's a big stage. Try your hand there. And even Joe Burrow doesn't know if he's ready for LSU. But he transfers there, and last year is fine. But, you know, he's just kind of fine. And LSU has had a lot of just kind of fine quarterbacks. Good, not great. Coming into the season, Joe Burrow is not a Heisman favorite. LSU is not a national championship favorite. And Burrow not only wins both, he rewrites record books. This year he had 60 touchdowns passing. Again, six interceptions. He had an 80% completion rate. You realize like 60% is really good. Really good. 65 is next level good. He had an 80% completion rate. Not throwing a bunch of screen passes and 3-yard outs. He's going deep. He's playing in the SEC. And he's played how many top 10 teams this year? 80% completion rating. Joe Burrow can't be stopped. He combines for 18 touchdowns in his three postseason games. 18 against no interceptions. He went 18-0 in scores, 16 throwing, 2 on the ground versus no interceptions. This is not supposed to happen. It's a total luck of the draw. Now, LSU gives him a landing spot. LSU gives him a support. LSU gives him Joe Brady, his offensive coordinator, who comes over from the New Orleans Saints because LSU and Ed Orgeron realize we need to modernize here. Our offense is stagnant. It's stuck in the past, and we need to modernize. And Joe Brady comes in as a young, bright offensive mind for the Saints and says, okay, let's rip it up and start over again. Coming into this year, it's a total kind of mistake. Orgeron's the coach. Joe Brady's the OC / play caller. And Joe Burrow is your quarterback. And it becomes arguably the greatest offensive season in college football history because this one not only has the stats, but also has the national championship and an undefeated record. The improbability of this is staggering, which makes this one of the coolest sports stories we've had. And when you think about 2020, everybody, I mean, it is the end of dynasties. The Warriors, the Patriots, Alabama. All of the dynasties. And maybe a mini run from the Astros just got disassembled as well. A 3-4 year run where the Astros were the best team in baseball, arguably. The page has turned to January. Bama didn't play in the college football playoff, and LSU absolutely blew right by Alabama this year. The Patriots were home wildcard weekend. The Warriors are one of the worst teams in basketball. And the Astros just got two black eyes from the commissioner's office. It is crazy what has happened to the establishment of sports in 2020. And they are partying in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah, we coming for the title. Get drunk, Tiger fans getting bucked. Home game, tell the other team get some. We got the barbecue smoking for the pregame. It's all great, everybody get to eat, man. Bunch champs, dog, it's not even optional. We got the game locked in every sport possible. Cheerleaders cutting flips on the sideline. The dance team getting loose cause it's grind time. And the golden band, they get a crowd chills. Ever been in the stands, you know how it feels. Heavy traffic game, now you know it's going down. Full house every time, about to act a clown. Any game, any sport, you're getting blowed out. You know it's over when you hit us from the whole crowd.
LSU, your 2019 national champions in college football. It's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up at 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, the Astros get pounded by the commissioner's office. What is next for Alex Cora, the manager of the Red Sox, who has also won a World Series title? Yikes. DA, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Morning, DA. Let me get that beam up, brother.
All right.
You, sir, are notorious for spitting hot fire, and once again, here we are, melting.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that the DA show is available in podcast form. If you ever end up without the DA show live, you can always listen to us on demand whenever you want. Just go and find CBSSportsRadio.com, the website, and you can find the DA show full on hours there. Also on podcasts, anywhere that you get your podcasts. Search the DA show and you'll be able to find full episodes there. It's a Trash Tuesday. Trevor in Bomb City tweets, I'm trashing SEC fan. You don't get reflected glory from your hated neighbor's accomplishments. No one else is interested in how good this makes your team by proxy. That's not a thing. Your hated neighbor married the woman of your dreams. Get him out, DA.
Are those maggots?
That one also always throws me off here by voice guy. I don't think they're maggots. Eric tweets, I'm trashing Clemson doubters. They had an easier schedule, but clearly proved themselves in the playoffs. Can't wait to see those two quarterbacks battle on Sundays.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Today is about LSU, but Clemson acquitted itself very well. You think about it, no matter how bad the ACC has been for a while, Clemson has won two national championships, gone to two other national championship games, lost a heartbreaker to Nick Saban in Alabama in the middle of Saban's dynasty, and then lost to perhaps the greatest quarterback in college football history for one season, Joe Burrow, who finished his year this year with nearly 5,700 yards and 60 touchdowns for a quarterback rating of 204. And Clemson led that game early. The one thing we know about Clemson is that they are not rolling over in big games. Adriana tweets, I'm trashing the universally overused crying laughing face emoji. I'm sure that passive-aggressive burn you just laid on someone via Twitter does not have you laughing so hard you're crying, just like that cat video did not actually make you LOL. Hashtag, what is you?
Illegal dumping.
What is you? What is you at all?
What is you? What is you at all?
What is you?
A most machine of death.
Most. So Major League Baseball comes down hard to the Astros. They say GM Jeff Luhnow suspended for a year. Manager A.J. Hinch suspended for a year. First-round draft picks for the Astros. Second-round draft picks for the Astros. 2020, 2021, they're all gone, and a $5 million fine. The owner, Jim Crane, ends up firing both Luhnow and Hinch in the aftermath of this, so both those guys are out. Note that, guy, this is just about the most perfect karma ever, because this all starts from Brandon Taubman, the assistant GM during the World Series, who openly taunted female journalists, one of which had a domestic violence survivor bracelet on, taunting them about having their closer as a domestic abuser. He taunted them. Baseball looked into it and then uncovered all of this. So think about it. At that point in time, we said, boy, what a scummy organization for Taubman to do that type of thing. And then baseball just kept pulling the yarn, and the yarn uncovered this. So now we get to Alex Cora. Cora was, of course, the bench coach under A.J. Hinch in 2017 when they win the World Series under this kind of scope of cheating. Cora goes on after that season to become the manager of the Red Sox, and they win the World Series as well. So Cora is back-to-back World Series champs. Supposedly, the penalty for Cora is going to be just as stiff, if not stiffer, than A.J. Hinch, which is a full-year suspension. Because not only was Cora part of the Astros nonsense in 17, but part of the Red Sox nonsense with Apple Watches in 2018, all of which the commissioner said, don't do. So there is multiple memos from the league office not to do what Alex Cora did in two different stops. Guys, should Alex Cora be allowed to manage in baseball again?
I think again is fine, but this should be, if Hinch got a year and Cora brought this to Boston, it's at least double, if not, I think a 3-year suspension to me would be fine. At that point, Red Sox probably move on or fire him, and he's free to get another job.
Well, yeah, I don't think they're going to hang on to a guy they can't have in the dugout for 3 years.
Well, I mean,
they're going to stash away Alex Cora until 2024?
He did win a World Series, but I guess you could always rehire him in 3 years anyway when he's free to come back into the league. I think 3 years is fair. A lifetime ban seems a little much.
Is he hireable, though? I mean,
he still won a World Series.
Let's say he's fired, and let's say he's out of the league for 2 years. He's the guy that cheated in Houston and brought cheating to Boston and is suspended, arguably, for, let's say, 2 years.
I think he's hired. I mean, Mark McGwire has a hitting coach job, doesn't he? For like the Marlins or something like that?
Yeah.
And he's renowned as one of the biggest cheaters in baseball. I mean, Barry Bonds has invited the spring training complexes to work out with teams. I think Alex Cora is hireable again. I do, but this has to be, if not the same, double or triple the punishment.
Well, he's got to get Hinch. He's got to be suspended for the year. That seems obvious.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But if Hinch is the baseline and Cora is the actual, like, evildoer here, along with Beltran, it's got to be more than Hinch.
Because from the baseball investigation and report, they say that Hinch told the guys knock it off multiple times.
I mean, the only two people that are mentioned in this report, well, four total, Hinch, Luhnow, Cora, and Beltran, those are the only names in 9 pages of MLB investigation. He has to get more than Hinch. So I think it's a similar pattern. They say 2 years or a year and a half and 81, you know, a year and 81 games, and then Boston goes, he's out.
I think it's 2 years. I agree. I think they're going to suspend him 2 years. Maybe they'll say indefinitely. Like, they might say,
you can ask me to come back in a year.
They might say, yeah, eligible for reinstatement after a year of suspension and then give him another year. But I agree. I don't think you can give him anything less than Hinch, and you probably have to give him more. Because you're admitting that Hinch, at the very least, protested them doing it. So basically, Hinch gets nailed on failure to govern. What do they say about that in programs?
Lack of institutional control.
Right. So they got Hinch on lack of institutional control, even admitting, though, that he at least protested it. They're finding that Cora was the mastermind behind it.
Right.
So he encouraged it. That means he's got to get more than A.J. Hinch, and he brought it to a different team. Bilotti, do you suspend him for life?
I wouldn't be opposed to it. I don't think they will. I think this is a they had to send the message like they did with the Astros.
If they pounded the Astros, they're going to pound. They're going to pound Cora.
He cannot be in the dugout. I don't think he can be. He can be back in baseball, but he.
You don't think he can manage again?
I don't think he can manage again. I think he can be maybe a roving assistant or in spring training somewhere. I don't think he can manage though.
Isn't this amazing with Cora? Remember 2018. Cora pressed all the right buttons.
Genius.
He was so smart. He was so instinctual. He knew his players. He started all the right guys. He got the most out of his guys. They love playing for him. Remember all of the narratives about Alex Cora being the perfect manager?
Is there any New England / Boston championship that's clean at this point?
I mean, down the road of how much tainted championships are there.
I mean, that stupid kid that holds up that stupid sign in every parade, has he seen one clean championship at this point? I'm not convinced he has.
What's your Bruins theory?
I haven't found one, but we'll get to it.
Tim Thomas quickly erased out of the league,
right? That's a good point. That's a good point.
Cora's going to get at least a year. I bet she gets 2 years or a year and then up for reinstatement after that.
That's a shame.
I just can't believe that we went from Cora's just this feel-good, smiley guy, right? He just always had the best sound bites. Everybody loved him. The players connected with him. Remember all the stories. He's pressed every right button. Remember? It was like he was on a heater in Vegas. Every time he had a decision to make, he made the right decision. Every pitching change, every lineup change.
Where to put Brock Holt? Where to bat Jackie Bradley? Oh, this fits. What a gutsy call.
He kept the starters in long enough. He put the relievers in when they needed them.
Nady Evaldi, let's figure him out in the bullpen.
Everything was he made the right, like he couldn't make a bad move that entire October. And now we find out he was the biggest cheater in baseball.
Yeah, I mean, easy to do when everybody's got an Apple Watch.
His Apple Watch is telling him who to start.
Right. Has Sean mentioned that the Yankees got in trouble in 2017 as well for using their bullpen phone, I think, incorrectly?
Right.
Yeah, but that was just a clerical error.
Oh, clerical.
Clerical error. Gotcha. The bullpen phone. That's nothing like what's going on in Boston and Houston. And by the way, look at the teams we were trying to beat. I mean, please, the Yankees have a bullpen phone error? They're dealing with people banging on trash cans and using Apple Watches. That's what stopped them from 2 World Series. I'm sorry if they misdialed the phone.
Is that what it was? They had a 5 instead of 8? They were just off by a row?
Yeah, they were trying to dial information, and they ended up getting where to dig. Watch where you dig. That's where the Boone was calling. 411. All right, so, Mraz, should you guys be hanging 2 new banners?
I'm not going to go as far as to give you the one with Boston.
Okay.
But absolutely, there is no shadow of a doubt.
No.
The 2017 World Series champions are the New York Yankees, okay. Whether baseball acknowledges it or not. And let me just stop you, Bogish, the body, and every, you know, frankly, idiot listener that we have right now is going to go, well, the Dodgers lost in the World Series. The Astros are committing this at home. The Astros went and won a Game 7 in L.A. where they could not bang on a trash can there. So, to me, that takes the Dodgers out of the equation. Oh. That ALCS...
The Dodgers won a game in Houston, by the way, in that series.
Okay. The point is...
Against the cheating. The
ALCS, the Yankees won every game at home. The Astros could not win a game in the 2017 ALCS versus the Yankees where they did not cheat. So, to me, that makes the Yankees... the World Series champions. And, I mean, we don't get the parade. The real banner won't be up there. But me and every other Yankee fan knows we are the 28-time World Series champions.
And you know, Susan, that's baseball.
Oh, I cannot wait to the two of them in full snark the first time they discuss this on the air this spring. Get me to that broadcast.
Beautiful. Andrew Bogish is in with the headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning again. Here are these headlines sponsored by Progressive. Progressive makes it easy to compare quotes and get a great rate with the Home Quote Explorer only at Progressive.com. Trevor Lawrence was 25 for 25 as Clemson's QB until having to face the LSU defense in the national title game.
Well, it wasn't accurate tonight. Didn't put the ball where it needed to be. Didn't give my guys a chance enough. And then, you know, I mean, it's just... it comes down to that, really. It's just giving him a chance, and I just didn't do a good job of doing that.
Lawrence just 18 for 37, 234 yards without a touchdown inside the Superdome. He did run for a score as Clemson built a quick 17-7 lead, But then LSU QB Joe Burrow got hot.
Snap back. Joe has it. Looks. Launches towards the end zone. Adjusting. Terrace Marshall goes up. Pulls it down. Touchdown, LSU. 24-yard touchdown pass. Add another to Joe Burrow. Give Terrace Marshall his first reception for a touchdown tonight.
That's Chris Blair on the LSU Sports Radio Network. 5 TD throws, one running for Burrow. His offense erased that 10-point hole by halftime. That 24-yard strike, the final blow on a 42-25 decision. LSU wins its first national title since 07. Burrow is the first QB since Jameis Winston to win the Heisman and then a ring. One last college football note, Hawaii's Nick Rolovich expected to replace Mike Leach at Washington State. Say whatever you want now about the Astros' 2017 world title, except giving it to the Yankees. They did win that one while illegally stealing signs, a practice that continued into 2018. The team fired GM Jeff Luhnow and manager A.J. Hinch yesterday, right after MLB announced one-season bans for them. The Astros also fined $5 million. They lose draft picks in the next two Junes. Then bench coach Alex Cora and then player Carlos Beltran seen as the ringleaders. Cora will be punished once baseball determines if his Red Sox were cheating in 18. Beltran not getting punished because no player is. The Minnesota Vikings need new coordinators this winter. OC Kevin Stefanski, officially the Browns' new head coach. DC George Edwards is not getting a new contract. Russell Westbrook and now Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the only guards in the last 30 seasons with a 2020 triple-double. 20 points, 20 boards, 10 assists, and a 117-104 victory in Minnesota. Thunder, or LeBron, that is, scored 31 against the Cavaliers.
Thunder LeBron?
Yeah, I don't know. That was just two lines getting mixed together in my script. LeBron, by himself, scored 31 against the Cavaliers. His Lakers winning their ninth in a row, 128-99. And the Pacers topped the Sixers, 101-95. The NHL suspending Oilers winger Zach Cassian yesterday two games for trying to beat the crap out of Calgary's Matthew Tkachuk over the weekend. Cassian started throwing punches after Tkachuk's third questionable hit in the game. Cassian then said this post-game.
He's just a young punk that has to figure that aspect out in the game. It's sad because he's a pretty good player, but he's a to be honest, straight up. That's the definition of it. He wouldn't fight me 2 years ago. Said I was a fourth liner, now I have 13 goals. What's the excuse now? You know what I mean?
The word we bleeped out, the one that often precedes cat, is what Zach called young Matthew. And Cassian is not the only NHL player who dislikes the younger Tkachuk. Drew Doughty of the LA Kings also has a vendetta against him, so he's making friends around the National Hockey League.
Nice.
On the ice last night, the Blues extended their home winning streak to 9-4-1 over the Ducks, and Washington blanked Carolina 2-0. And finally, we all know about these catastrophic wildfires in Australia. They have now infiltrated the sports world. A woman in the qualifying tournament, the Aussie Open in Melbourne, overcome today by the terrible air quality. She had to withdraw from her match because of breathing issues. The actual tournament begins on Monday, and there's no telling what the air will be like then. And already some of the major players like Novak Djokovic said that they're very concerned and may need the tournament to make significant changes to its schedule to make sure everybody is safe and healthy through all of this.
I think I read the story or the stat that an area the size of the state of Virginia has burned down in Australia.
I think so, something like
Could
that,
Could you imagine the area the size of the state of Virginia has burned to a crisp in a country?
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. All right, thank you, Andrew. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Kyle's in Shreveport at 100.7. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, what's up? What's up, DA?
How you doing, my man?
Oh, man, I'm doing good, man. It's a good day, man. I just want to say, go Tigers.
Right on. Congratulations.
Down here in Louisiana.
Yeah.
But anyway, man, I also want to thank you as well. I think me and my wife just flew to New York City. We celebrated our 10th anniversary, and due to some of your recommendations, we had us a good time.
Oh,
we
cool.
flew back, but there nice. Comes in the Trash Tuesday.
Yeah.
I have a couple things. I don't want to call out the specific place, but we went to a rink, and this guy, I swear, I don't know what it is about giving kids a whistle and a shirt that says staff that makes them think that they own the place.
Yeah, a little but, self-important.
Man, he was relentless, and then on top of just whistling every little thing, he was zooming in and out of kids and adults, and I was, my wife had to tell me not to strip him because I was trying hard not to. But,
yeah.
And so I like to trash him. Then also on our flight back, we're flying from Charlotte to Shreveport. And we get on the plane, and they do final check and say that they need to fill up with fuel. And I'm just curious how that even makes it to final check. Why wasn't that on check one or check two? Why did they wait till we get on the plane,
right, ready
to go? I'm like, you know what? We need fuel. So trash all of that.
All right, trash.
Illegal dumping.
I appreciate you, Kyle. Thanks so much for calling in, and congratulations to your Bayou Bengals, and glad you had a good time, largely, in New York City, besides the kid with the whistle. When we come back here on the show, we've got your epic fail, and we also get an answer, our advanced analytics, on whether a ham sandwich can be celebratory for Coach Ogeron. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
What we're doing.
Sorry about that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Get your flu shots. 46 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Be careful out there.
I always like wanted to have my face licked.
It's flu season. Don't get phlegmy. Don't get phlegmy on me. It's a Trash Tuesday. Remember, you can watch the best of the show on YouTube every single day. Binge watch the best of clips, best of moments on YouTube. Just go to CBS Sports Radio's YouTube channel. The DA show is there. Pete tweets, I'm trashing all the non-LSU SEC fanboys claiming this as, quote, another title that, quote, they won for some academically, say, Vandy and athletically middling university such as South CAC, Ole Miss, MSU, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Mizzou, etc. that said fans have most likely never attended.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Gotta love the SEC. Even when their hated rivals win a championship, they're like, yeah, SEC, bro. Could you imagine if an Eagles fan was like, yeah, NFC East, when the Giants won a Super Bowl? Cowboys fans, yo, Eagles, you won a Super Bowl, NFC East, baby. Ridgely tweets, I'm trashing Mraz. His Brooklyn Nets oinking has been disappointingly absent. We got to oink our way up to the face of New York basketball. We're healthy and have a foot in the playoff door. Deep run is imminent. While we're at it, let's bring in KD to take the title.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
I mean, they just lost seven in a row, and they're basically locked into the seven seed to have to play the Celtics in the first round. Come on.
So no Nets oinking.
Well, just saying, like, they're a year away from being awesome. Then I will have my pig snout on, no problem.
Cigar City Capo tweets, beam me up to celebrate the LSU victory. I got the Ed OG Sando to celebrate. Cajun turkey ham, Genoa salami, provolone, thin sliced sharp cheddar on Puerto Rican sweetbread, Cuban coffee, and half a cranberry muffin. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Well, that sounds fantastic. That brings us to our morning Twitter poll of the day. And Ed Ogeron said he was going to celebrate with Scott Van Pelt on the SportsCenter last night by eating a ham sandwich. So we said, can a ham sandwich be a celebratory meal? 59% of you said, absolutely not. Now, I don't know. My ham sandwich that I got, and I think I won this competition today, I said, you know what? Ham sandwiches on me. Everybody go out and go crazy. I got a Virginia ham with a Russian dressing, tomato. I flopped in sauerkraut for the Swiss cheese to make it more like a Reuben for myself on a brioche bun. I was so satisfied. It was so delicious. Mraz, underwhelming today. He's usually a great orderer. Today, not so much. Ham and turkey, cheddar cheese on rye, but cold. Mine was hot.
No, mine was hot.
It was?
But, it, like, the meat didn't get as hot as I would have thought. It was like they just pressed the bread.
Bogish had a Western omelet on a wheat wrap. A Western omelet is kind of ham-centric.
Oh, ham's the main meat there. I'm not going to knock Bogish for that.
But it's really an omelet. It's not a ham-centric meal. It's an egg-centric meal. The omelet's egg-centric.
Wait, is eccentric the right word, or is it eccentric?
I'm saying it's centered around the egg. Egg-centric.
So it's egg-centric.
Egg is... Egg, no.
You're trying to combine the two here.
It's centric.
You're pulling a fast one.
It's egg-focused.
It's eccentric.
Now, Kaplan had a hot ham and cheese on white. Pete the Body Bilotti had hot ham and cheese on wheat. I think I won.
Well, first of all, who made this a competition?
I think I had the best
Second
order.
Second of all, when you came and looked at the menu, that was what I was going to order, and I wanted to go different because you said you wanted it. So you said, oh, that's the one I'm going to get. And then if I ordered the same one, you would have said, well, we're trying to vary the ham orders here.
No, I wouldn't have said that. You get whatever you want.
No, we're going to vary the ham orders. We're going to judge all the sandwiches. So now you stole my sandwich. Now it's a competition after you were a thief, even though you bought the food, so really you're not a thief.
I would say definitely not a thief here.
I should have just got a ham, egg, and cheese, home fries on it, everything bagel. Let's go.
But what you're saying from our listeners definitively that a ham sandwich cannot be a celebratory meal.
It cannot. It could be a lunch. It can't be something you celebrate anything with.
Me and Bilotti are on the other side of this. We think it can be.
Oh, it can be. You can make it whatever you want. Any type of meal can be a celebratory meal. It's all up to you. As long as you're happy with it, that's the celebration.
Now, this was our epic fail as well, correct?
No. It's the guy going in the cello case from Japan to Lebanon.
All right, yes, your epic fail is Bogus's stun to a news.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
That's a long flight.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
So that'd be like from us to Hawaii.
Yes.
That's a long flight.
Could you be in a cello box for that flight?
No.
Would
no,
you get
but then
winded?
Again, you know what, though? If they lay it down, you're laying down. It's very rare you get the long flight with the lady.
It's 100 years ago you're talking about. Things have changed.
Well, you can only get to a first class.
And you can extend your legs
extend
out,
your legs. Like, if I shut my eyes, you know what? Think about it. I can hunker down for 12 hours full of sleep. As long as I'm on my back.
I'll be smiling at the beach.
You know, maybe this guy figured it out. That's how we should be traveling.
He was traveling business class
right.
In the cello box.
Right. It's for so much cheaper. How many times you're sitting there and you're like, I can't fall asleep sitting up? 12 hours. You know what? He pops a little NyQuil before he goes and lays down in that cello box.
Also, you think about it, you don't have to worry about pulling down your window shade or putting on one of those eye masks because it's just going to be black the entire time. So you could, as you said, quote, hunker down for 12 hours.
Right, save money. You're not renting movies the whole time.
Right, load an iPad, a movie or two, you
I
lay
think
back.
This guy found out.
Grown-ass men.
And he made it. But no one else tried this at home.
Imagine how freezing cold that is if you ended up. Now, who knows? Maybe he got smuggled through security in the cello box and then ended up having a disguise inside the cargo area. I don't know. But if you had to spend 10 or 12 hours in the cargo port of the plane with no heat, like at 30,000 feet in a cello box.
For a long time.
Oh, my God.
Get me to Lebanon.
I was drunker than you know how drunk I was.
Pulling around the cargo area, slamming into other things, bouncing up and down. To end up in Lebanon, away from Japanese prosecutors.
Oh, my God.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Meraz was one of the great quotes of 2020. Quote, get me to Lebanon. Black Rose, Black Rose tweets, I'm trashing you guys for constantly playing that nasty-ass cough clip. It's gross. Can we retire that in 2020 and beyond, please?
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Well, that's Jody Mack's wet sneeze, and I think that that's unfortunately a permanent part of the show. Jason. Black lung. Jason tweets, I need to trash the Blazers for not playing in Maine. They could be playing in a building called the Lobster Pound. Hashtag you need to eat like
this. Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
AZ and Wisco tweets, I'm trashing myself for not being able to adapt to your new schedule. How do you think we feel?
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
Meraz is on 2.5 hours sleep after watching last night's game. Thanks to Sean Meraz, executive producer of The Dom. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, your audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchTA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.